Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Just imagine, tonight these two lawmakers will be sitting together.
You vote in favor of something if you believe it's the right thing. If you believe it's the wrong thing, you vote no. We are following a procedure. I will not yield to the gentleman, and the gentleman will observe regular order. The gentleman will observe regular order.
That's New York's Anthony Weiner, a Democrat, and Peter King, a Republican, during the very serious debate over health care for Ground Zero workers this past summer. But yes, they will join dozens of other lawmakers crossing the aisle to sit together tonight. What will they hear? What do you want to hear from President Obama in his second State of the Union address? We've lined up past guests from the show, from a military spouse to a Tea Partier. Let's start today, though, with Steve Zacher. He's operations manager at Glockmeister. You might remember they have gun shops in Mesa and Phoenix, Arizona. Steve, we spoke to you after the Tucson shootings. Now, at that time, you were selling out of those big magazines that can fit 30 rounds of ammunition, and you said you didn't like the fact that your stores were doing well because people were coming in out of fear. And the fear was that this type of magazine was going to be banned. So would you like to hear the president say something like, I'm not going to ban certain weapons? But also, you know, would you like to hear him say, you know, it should be harder for people with mental health problems to get them?
I would prefer that it's not really addressed. I don't think that there is a need at this time for restriction or legislative change. I think that the safeguards and the responsibility required and observed by everybody involved is fantastic. And it's just horrifically unfortunate when one aberration, which is a terrible ripple effect for everybody involved. By and large, the system, I think, works really great. You know, how would I say that to the families of those who are affected directly by this? I don't know how that would be a difficult topic. But no, I really don't think there's a government issue right now.
Well, what other things would you like to hear the president say? You're a business owner. You're also in an area that has military bases. Just, you know, as they come to you, what would you like to hear him say?
Immigration is a huge topic in this country and a particularly huge topic for our region. I don't think that there is currently an appropriate approach to immigration, to legal immigration in the United States. There's at times, depending on how the pendulum swings in the economy, a great demand for labor that's not filled by the existing citizens of the United States.
Well, isn't that interesting? Because you know, you're concerned about illegal immigrants, but you also say that there's, you know, job markets that aren't jobs that aren't taken by people in the U.S.
Absolutely. I feel very strongly about that. I believe that, like water will go wherever it possibly can, I think labor will as well. I don't like the fact that people risk their lives and break the law to come to our country and to work, and I don't like that they're employed in an illegal manner and that they avoid paying the typical withholdings that a normal employee, legal employee, would pay, and businesses also get around certain responsibilities by hiring illegal people. I'd like the United States government to enact something specific allowing a greater number of people to come here and work legally. There's no reason why people shouldn't be allowed to come to the United States, work legally, have their paychecks taxed and so on, in return for the social services that they should receive as functioning, working people, visitors, immigrants.
Steve Zacher, operations manager for Glockmeister, gun shops in Mesa and Phoenix, Arizona. Steve, thank you.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity.
And by the way, we'd always love to hear from you. Just go to hearnow.org and you can leave a comment. But let's turn to the military. Yesterday, President Obama announced new government-wide initiatives to support military families, child care, education for spouses and kids, protection from predatory lending, programs to use national parks to help wounded soldiers recover, but also create summer jobs for their kids, and a call to prevent homelessness and suicide. Rebecca Sanderlin is an Army wife, mother of two, freelance writer. We'll link you to her blog about military families at hereandnow.org. And Rebecca, we know you heard what the president said. Can we presume you want to hear some of those same things tonight?
Absolutely. And actually, I didn't just hear what he said. I was invited to attend. I was in the White House yesterday for the speech, and it was just thrilling to hear him say the same things we've been asking for several years now.
Well, you know, it's funny, though. It was a speech to military families, but a lot of other people didn't hear it. So again, would you, you know, what would it mean to you if he said some of those things tonight, using national parks to help wounded soldiers recover?
Yeah, there were some really, really exciting ideas that were presented. And if it all comes to fruition, it could really change the sustainability of military family life.
Well, you know, we've talked about this before, that it seems like some of the problems we're seeing with today's military seem to be the side effects of an all-volunteer army. You don't just have young people drafted and putting in their time. You have people for whom it's a life. Your husband served three tours. What else do you think the government can do? And what else do you want to hear from President Obama as far as the military and the two ongoing wars?
One of the things he mentioned in the speech yesterday was that a lot of service members have told him how disconnected they feel from the civilian population. And I think any efforts he can take to remind people of what military families and service members are going through voluntarily can only help build that connection back. Right. So I'd love to hear that. I would also love to hear a commitment to Afghanistan. We hear a lot about withdrawal, but none of us want these last few years to have been in vain. We want to know that when we do withdraw, it will be the right time and we'll be done.
Well, and what does that mean to you? What does he have to say to communicate that?
You know, I guess I would just like to hear more verbiage to the extent of when the mission is finished, we will withdraw, not just hard dates.
We know little Rudy is not feeling well and she's homesick today, so you go ahead and attend to her. Just, we have one last question because, you know, what you said is interesting about Afghanistan, because a 2009 poll showed a majority of Americans don't think it's worth it. And part of what they don't think is worth it is the loss of military life. So there's sort of a disconnect there. You think that the loss of military life means you want to stay and make sure it's right. A lot of Americans want withdrawal.
I think you're absolutely right in calling that a disconnect. My husband comes from a very long line of service members, and there's a tradition in my own family dating back to the Revolutionary War. So it stands to reason that if we don't finish this right, my son will be there in 20 years. And I don't want that. You know, my husband and I have lost too many friends, suffered too many injuries and separations to bail out before it's done and have to go back again.
Yeah. So you want to hear from the president a commitment to doing it right. You're not sure what the words are, but something to that effect.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a commitment to, you know, I don't want us to be there any longer than we have to, but I don't want us to leave before we're done.
Rebecca Sanderlin, a journalist, blogger, Army wife, and as we've just heard, mother, with a lot going on. Rebecca, thanks for the time.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's bring in Diana Reimer now. She's national coordinator for the group The Tea Party Patriots. We first spoke with her just after the midterm elections, in which President Obama, remember, said he got a shellacking from voters. Diana, first and foremost, what do you want to hear President Obama say?
I would like to hear President Obama talk about constitutionally limited government, fiscal responsibility, and free markets. They're the Tea Party Patriots' core principles.
And as we know, the Republicans in Congress have picked them up, requesting, for instance, that every bill that comes before them describe why it's constitutionally allowed. What do you want him to say?
Well, I'd like him, instead of speaking about his new, investment, talk about decreasing the investment and talk about creating jobs but not creating more debt for the American people.
Well, and this is the dog chasing its tail because, as you know, there are economists who believe that investing in the economy creates jobs. You've told us you don't buy that. But what more can he say to maybe convince you? Polls show that he has had big jumps in popularity among independent voters. Obviously, you still need to hear something. What is it besides what you've listed?
I'd like to see him really look at the people when he's talking, talk from his heart, and really come together with the people, with Congress, and try to make things work. It's about the people. It's about the country.
Well, when you say really look, I just want to make sure we're hearing it correctly. Is this a sort of a delivery thing that you're talking about, that you're not feeling that he's literally looking at you when he's speaking?
Absolutely. It's a delivery. To me, I can't, I hate to say this, I don't like watching him. He's not connecting, not to me.
Well, you know, that raises a question, Diana. Is the situation such that nothing Barack Obama could say would be something you'd want to hear.
No, I can't say that. I believe he has the good of the country at heart, but his policies are different than what we would like to see. He believes in spending. We have got to get our debt under control. Everything must be put on the table to where the spending can be cut.
Military, Social Security, Medicare.
You know, it's not going to be nice for anyone, but the American people have to realize that there will be cuts. And if they want the debt to be under control, then that's what they have to do.
And so you certainly don't want to hear talk about spending and investing in things like infrastructure, even though that might bring jobs?
The first stimulus, wasn't there money to be put into infrastructure? I don't think, in my humble opinion, and it's only my opinion, that there's an easy answer to any of this. You know, and I just pray and I hope that they all can come together and figure out a way to get America out of debt.
By the way, Diana, when you're watching, what will you be looking for? We know that these lawmakers will be sitting with each other and not in the group separated by the aisle.
Yeah, I think that's great.
That's Diana Reimer, National Coordinator for the Tea Party Patriots. Diana, thank you.
Well, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Some voices from across the country, by the way, will have more, but others have criticized President Obama's speaking skills. Peter Canellos, writing in the Boston Globe, said that his soaring oratory on the campaign trail didn't translate into an ability to explain policies. And Diana mentioned the president's infrastructure spending, indicating it didn't go anywhere. Well, that's true. Only a small part of the first $707 billion stimulus package went to public works. A second $50 billion infrastructure program Obama proposed went nowhere in Congress. But today's New York Times reports that Florida's new Republican governor is deciding whether to join the governors of Ohio and Wisconsin in turning down stimulus money. This is for high-speed rail projects. So is this the president's fault that it's not going anywhere? And will we hear more about that tonight? And will we hear more specifics from the president? Now, White House spokespersons have said today we won't know the president's plans to cut until he releases his budget in 3 weeks. But how does he plan to spend? Will he redefine investments? As Democratic Senator John Kerry did on our mother station WBUR this morning, let's listen to his response to the president's critics who say investment is just another word for spending.
Where do they think the internet came from? The internet was government created. We were researching how to communicate in the case of nuclear war. What about going to the moon? Going to the moon was government money. Out of it came Teflon and Gore-Tex and digitalization and countless other things that benefit the economy of our country.
But those
I'll have that debate with them any day they want to have it. Investment in the future, investment in infrastructure, is not spending. It's investment. And if you don't invest in your future, other countries are going to take us to the cleaners.
Will the president take that tone tonight? Some other thoughts we've noticed. USA Today writes in its editorial, skip that list of accomplishments, just talk about the deficit. And radio talk show host Michael Smirkanis says, start off by telling lawmakers to sit down, no ovation, and then tell them to stay seated. More in 1 minute, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, dedicated to accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science worldwide. On the web at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back. We're asking people across the country about tonight's State of the Union. What would they say to the president? Bruce Wheeler is a state rep from Arizona, a first-term Democrat in the state's 28th district. He holds the seat that Gabrielle Giffords held before she was elected to Congress. And Bruce, we spoke with you when Congresswoman Giffords was shot. You said then she was a voice of unity, and the challenge was to learn from the shooting. Now, we just heard from a gun shop owner who says he doesn't want guns mentioned tonight. How would you like the president to frame the tragedy?
Well, I think he started out by doing just an exceptional job when he flew down to Tucson. He sought to, of course, console the victims and their families and to highlight the fact that we ought to, in a civil manner, continue the work that not only Gabby was working on, but that each of us may believe in, however different those opinions are. That we have to do it in a civil and responsible manner. And I think he did that really well, and I think you'll continue that at the State of the Union speech.
What other aspects of Tucson would you like to hear him talk about? I mean, there's a question as to whether or not he will talk about guns.
My understanding is that he may. My position is similar to Congresswoman Giffords, that I respect the individual's right to bear arms as guaranteed by the Second Amendment. In this case, I just quite frankly don't see that guns were the cause. The cause was a mentally deranged individual. But I think a more relevant issue for us in Arizona and across the nation is that I would like him to address the immigration issue.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, Arizona has been very divided by the passage of Senate Bill 1070 here, and I'd like him to try once again to get the DREAM Act passed by Congress.
The DREAM Act, which gives children of illegal immigrants a pathway to citizenship if they go to college or serve in the military. Well, and the State of the Union is just that. It's the president relaying what he feels is the State of the Union, and it's a summation of the past year. What do you want to hear the president, as a Democrat yourself, talk about as far as accomplishments?
The health care bill was an accomplishment. I would have liked to have seen it go further to a public option. I think he's begun to address the issue of investing in education, which in Arizona and across the nation is very critical, and how that affects jobs and job retention and the infrastructure. He's mentioned the electric grid nationally, as well as rail system and transportation. One of the other issues I'd like him to address and explain as far as accomplishments is the stimulus plan. Yes, it was expensive, but, you know, because it was successful in preventing the United States from diving into a real serious depression, maybe the public doesn't appreciate the importance of it. And yes, it did add to our deficit, but I think it was money well spent. And I think he ought to trumpet the success of the stimulus plan and now build on it and focus on job creation and the economy and having less onerous requirements and restrictions on businesses so that they can flourish and we can get moving on. Part of that is investing in infrastructure. Businesses need to be able to rely on a solid, futuristic, high-tech infrastructure that is not in the process of decaying, as we are seeing in our country, unfortunately, right now.
That's Bruce Wheeler, Democrat representing the 28th District in Arizona in their state legislature there. Representative Wheeler, Bruce, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin, so much. I appreciate it.
Well, let's bring in Brian O'Shaughnessy. He's chair of Revere Copper Products in Rome, New York. That's one of the oldest manufacturing companies in the U.S. He's also a leader in the Fair Trade Focus Group, the Coalition for a Prosperous America. Brian, in last year's State of the Union, President Obama set a goal of doubling exports over 5 years. He said that would support 2 million jobs. Now, in just 1 year, the demand for American goods and services went up 17%. Pretty good. How about for you?
No, it really isn't, because the total level of our exports is so low. And indeed, even under President Bush, he had a plan to double our exports, and he did, but it made no noticeable difference as China's imports grew even greater in absolute terms.
Yeah. Well, that brings us to the question, what do you want to hear the president say about China?
I would like the president to announce that he is forming a bipartisan coalition to bring the jobs home to the USA. I would like him to start with substantial action to offset China's manipulation of its currency. Now, as the chairman of Revere, I would support the position of Donald Trump, and he suggested imposing a 25% tariff on goods from China. I would actually go to 40%, which more closely matches the level of their currency manipulation.
Well, but you say just charge them tons of money to do business with the U.S. This is a risky line to walk right now because they are, after all, America's banker.
And we actually are their market. But we are allowing free access to our market while they do not allow free access to their markets.
Again, as a businessman or just as an American, Brian, what would you like to hear President Obama say?
I would like him to announce that he is going to develop a national plan to compete internationally and provide jobs in America. And the focus would be to make sure that trade is fair.
What about a national plan to invest, there's that word, in education? What we're hearing across the board in manufacturing is that American workers need to be educated up so that they can do some more of these high-tech jobs. That word investment has become a dirty word. It means spending, but would you like to hear it when it comes to educating workers?
Well, it always helps to educate workers, but between between 1973 and 2005, the share of U.S. workers with a college degree doubled, while the high school dropout rate declined from 29% to 10%. So if we can't compete internationally, education doesn't matter. And as far as high-tech value-added jobs, yes, I want those kind of jobs. But in the last several years, employment of U.S. scientists and engineers has fallen more than overall employment as their jobs were outsourced. So yes, we should focus on education. Yes, we should focus on high-tech value-added jobs. But it doesn't mean a thing if we don't solve the trade issues.
Brian O'Shaughnessy, chair of Revere Copper. Brian, thank you.
You're welcome, Robin.
Just a few of the voices across America ahead of tonight's State of the Union address. We'll, of course, have a report for you tomorrow as well, what the president said. And tomorrow in Here and Now, we're also going to take a look at an American company doing business in China. They make cranes, and no pun intended, they've had a lot of ups and downs. Sorry about that. That's tomorrow. Still ahead today, MTV's controversial Skins program. It's scaring away advertisers, so will that naturally attract young people? Latest news is next, Here and Now.
Support for Here and Now comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Hinckley, Allen & Snyder, where partners have been giving clients practical legal advice for over 100 years throughout New England, and now including Connecticut, online at haslaw.com. And the Institute of Contemporary Art on the Boston waterfront. Discover the power and beauty of new art and ideas, icaboston.org.